the police don't target individuals. It's just only if there's complaints. But time and time again, I've heard when people have asked, has there been a complaint to the officer, and the officer says, no, we've been ordered to do a sweep of this area. And that's happened in the last 6 months. So we're talking about real situations that have developed, bad situations that involve the criminalization of poor people who do nothing else other than sleep. Now, HUF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, is working on these issues, and though I will be at City Council at 7 o'clock on Tuesday night, I don't have much confidence that anything is going to happen at City Council other than a ratification, a second reading of this current ordinance that they have that institutionalizes this three-day rule. See, right now, there's a sort of a subtle situation. The council debate from 1999 indicates quite clearly that they didn't intend to put a three-day rule on anything other than driveways. However, by making it explicit and passing it again this Tuesday, they will be eliminating any argument we have in a court that they are violating their legislative purpose as expressed in their debate. And we will lose that. And this is being done because the city council is kowtowing to the police chief and the city attorney. And because certain other council members are keeping their mouths shut. I'm talking about Byers, Sugar, Crone, Fitzmaurice, also Rotkin. Although Rotkin on the phone said to me he did not remember any three-day limit except for driveways. So he's at least has the virtue to some extent in this matter of candor on this particular issue. It's ironic how sometimes you have to go to your opponents to get some kind of assistance on these rather elementary matters. For example, back in the summer of 2000, it was Rotkin who introduced the resolution to put the sleeping ban on the ballot. And it was Fitzmaurice, Crone, Sugar, and Byers that killed it and would not allow it to go on the ballot. Fitzmaurice had some bizarre, bastardized resolution that would have allowed people to not to sleep in their vehicles, but to jump outside their vehicles and sleep on the sidewalk. It just showed you how far out of touch someone like that guy is. He's now a member of our city council, whose decorum rules are now posted not just in the city council, but in every office throughout Santa Cruz that has anything to do with city business. It's really a sad, sad commentary. And by the way, I want to tip my hat to Anna Brooks. Anna Brooks is the woman who Fitzmaurice used as a cat's paw to involve three homeless activists in a five-month-long lawsuit. We were the Coffee Clatch 3. That was back in 2000. Because we were lobbying in the offices of the city council, Anna Brooks was brought forward as though she had been harassed by us, and Fitzmaurice was denouncing us when he was mayor for harassing this woman. In fact, of course, we were trying to get the attention of the city council through legitimate means, if somewhat persistent ones. We were there in the public offices the way lobbyists are and do, and you may not like lobbyists, but we were lobbyists for poor people, and that's what we did. And we were taken to court, and we were barred from the area for 6 months until we could finally get the whole thing dropped, which we did, showing it was bogus. After spending many, many dozens, scores, who knows, maybe hundreds of hours, if you involve everybody's time in this whole issue. Well, I wanted to say that I never had anything personal against Anna Brooks. I thought that she was being used here. She's not the best personality in the world for the kind of work she was in, but she was put in a bad situation. Between intransigent, unapproachable, inaccessible council members and individuals in the community who are activists who felt these issues had to be addressed, and she was in the middle. It was a difficult problem for her. Well, I saw her yesterday at coming to deliver food for Food Not Bombs, and I want to thank her for doing that. And I'm not saying that has nothing to do with anything I've said to her or anybody. I want to acknowledge that here's a woman who's a part of the community, and we may have had our differences in the past, but I'm pleased to see that she does have a concern on these issues. And I wish the city council and somebody like Mayor Chris Crone, who came into office with a sleeping ban is a violation of human rights, not just rhetoric, but a resolution at city council, would have the courage and the integrity to simply at least step up to the plate and introduce that same resolution again as a substantive matter and say, we're striking sections A and B of the camping ordinance, which essentially are the sleeping ban and the blanket ban sections. And we'll start there because it's such an obvious human rights violation to say you can't sleep after 11 o'clock at night. Christopher Crone needs to do that. If he gets voted down 6-1, that's fine. He's done that. But he won't be voted down, of course, because there are other people who are trying to get changes, too. He would probably get something like that passed. But But where he would get voted down is Marty Wormhout would vote him down. Mark Premack, if he becomes supervisor, will vote him down. The people in higher office and the environmental fascisti who don't want to see Camp Paradise anywhere in the Greenbelt zones or anywhere else will vote him down. And instead of going back to the simple basic issue like the people like Michael Schmidt do go back to, Schmidt has to deal with a much more conservative constituency than Crone does, but he stands up to those people, and he educates them. Crone, Fitzmaurice, and Sugar, you know, they fumble and they bumble and they tumble in the wind. And so we have all the accessible housing money for the next 5 years going to the Dolphin Lee debacle, the Dolphin Lee demolition plan, the demolition of two apartment complexes that are currently affordable for low-income Hispanic people that are living there, to subsidize a much smaller number of people in a much fancier building that blocks the street and sets the stage for the Third Street realignment, that is a pet project of Mercy Charities Housing, a monopoly shelter provider which got this deal, planned it, rammed it through the city council without any kind of competition. And that's coming back, by the way, to city council this week. It's coming back in 2 days at the 5 o'clock redevelopment agency, if you want to be there. Unfortunately, it's again the same nebulous deal. You don't know whether the whole thing starts at 5 o'clock or whether it starts at whenever the afternoon session ends, which could be at any particular time between 4 and 5. Again, we have these Brown Act concerns where they don't give a damn what the public, those individuals in the public who want to actually be a part of the public process, what would help them, what is even required by the spirit of the law. No, they're going to proceed with their own agenda, and if you want to oppose their agenda, they'll kick you ahead 7 hours, and they'll say, oh, you can talk at 11 o'clock at night. That's their... Crone has said to me, you know, you don't like it when we limit your time. Well, some council members want to throw oral communications to the end of the agenda, and they may do that. You know, I think that we cannot allow ourselves to be intimidated when those council members who just don't want public process, what they want is their process with their crowd there making their votes. They don't want to hear the opposition. They don't want to give them the chance for a give-and-take discussion. That's been the case, really, for the last decade. It's very rarely been any different. And the only way to make it different, I think, is to essentially have the numbers and have some kind of alternate organization. I've suggested this before, that there actually be sort of an alternate city council system set up. And I've actually said that before anyone even considers running for city council, they need to be setting up an alternate system of community meetings to really involve the community and provide them a forum that will actually be a real one. And so that when and if they get on city council, there'll be an alternate system in place, because the council itself is a closed system. Even if you come on there, and even if you have half the council, like they had three new council members who came on in 1998, they have been completely subverted or seduced or co-opted by the staff. You know, they can't even get a lawsuit going against Canfield's seizure of the Tidelands property out there by the boardwalk. They can't get so simple a thing as a sleeping ban repeal done, even though there have been two prestigious task forces that have told them, don't just dump the sleeping ban, dump the whole camping ordinance. They are tied to conservative hacks at the center like Marty Wormhout and John Laird, who are more concerned about their political future than they are about the rights of poor people in our community. It is really as simple as that. And the answer is, I think, again, the community has to stand up and just say no. And I'm not sure what form that will take. My forum at the moment is out at Yuppie Planter, where you see the most visible aspect of this whole situation happening, where the city council is literally spending taxpayer dollars to benefit private businesses in order to economically and socially cleanse a part of the sidewalk of young people and to destroy public space, essentially to walk all over the Constitution, although I guess only the customers can walk all over that space now of Alibaba's Cafe and Sushi Now. And I think, you know, that's the place where I've raised the issue and will continue to raise the issue and other issues, because I think we need these public spaces. And we need to take public action. There's been some good letters written in the last couple weeks. My letter got into the City on a Hill. If I'd be so modest as to mention it, I encourage you to look at the current issue. It talks about the what I've been talking about with the camping ban harshening coming on. That's coming on this Tuesday. The Good Times printed finally my response to the smear of myself and Zoe Einbinder, who are arrested for blocking the sidewalk in a charge that I can't believe is going to go anywhere, though I'm still looking for an attorney. If anyone has any ideas about a volunteer attorney who wants to help in this situation, please give a call to 423-HUFF, 423-4833. That's something I could use some help with. There's stuff coming up at City Council on Tuesday that I'm probably going to be trying to talk to, and I'd kind of hoped that we get Scott Graham in the studio today. He's an activist who's got a wide perception of different issues that Mayor Crone has been involved in, and the City Council has been involved in, or declined to be involved in. And he also works on Sunday, so he apparently wasn't able to make it. I'm hoping we can catch him on another day. Crone, as I said, did a long interview for KZSC after having delayed that for some time. And I was going to kind of go through it item by item. Looks like we have a caller. Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Oh, it's Billy Bob.
Sorry?
Yeah. Hey, what you, is the city...
You're breaking up there, Ed. It sounds like you're underwater.
What does the city council make?
Yes.
What do they get paid? What does... I think
they get paid either, I think it's $1,000 each and $2,000 or $2,000 each and $4,000. It isn't very much compared to, let's say, I think a supervisor gets $70,000 a year. And again, I'm not entirely sure of those numbers.
So, do they only get like $1,000 a month?
Yeah. It's pretty cheap. It's not a very high wage.
$1,000 a month?
It's either, I think it is $1,000 a month, and it's $2,000 if you're the mayor.
I was just curious as to how they sell out, and for a cheap price too.
It's not for the money. It's not for the money. It's more for the, has to do with the connections and the prestige and the political future and the desire to to please the people that they're closest to there, the ones who put them in office, the ones that they hear most frequently from, that sort of thing.
And they get paid off later down the road somewhere, just like the president with his book signing and his speeches. He gets paid to. Large amounts of money for like a one-hour lecture.
Well, it's not that I'm suggesting they're paid off in money. You know, I can't. I'm saying that their integrity is subverted in this process, and I'm not. You know, I'm not really. I mean, it is true they get jobs. Bruce Van Allen's constantly reemployed. He's a former mayor. Rotkin keeps coming back in. Jane Weed is always hosting these deals. But again, you can also say that they are activists who are also involved. But you know, it's not fair to say they get paid off in money. I don't have that kind of evidence. I'm not even
right.
Making that kind of claim. I'm saying.
I was just curious as to how a person sells out like that and then later is able to look at themselves in the mirror as to how they've changed. And
well, they will tell you they've mellowed. You know, they've realized that they're. You know, if you're a socialist when you're, if you're not a socialist when you're 20, then you haven't got a heart. But if you are a socialist when you're 30, then you haven't got a head. That's the conventional wisdom. You know.
Yeah, cute little sayings.
Cute little sayings.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks, Robert.
Sure.
Yeah.
And, you know, that just about wraps it up for Bathrop Spears Broadsides. Appearing in the background is the ever-voluble and much-loved Skidmark Bob, who's arrived with, I think, with his young'un in tow to do a little radio. And I got to start packing up my debris here. Without having played the damning evidence of the camping ban sellout, but I have these tapes available, and so does the city. Well, you know, I don't think the city does have them available anymore. I'm the only one who has them. The city can make them for you if you want to pay $5 a tape. It's which is kind of nasty. I'm going to try to have transcripts available of the relevant portions of this tape if I can persuade certain hardworking members of the. Huff organization to do that. We'll see if that works. I'm not sure if there's going to be food on Tuesday night at City Council? Perhaps so. Mercy Charities Housing, as I was didn't quite finish saying, is coming back with its relocation plan for a rubber stamping. And again, we have a situation where there's a huge amount of this relocation plan essentially has already relocated more than half the community away. They have destroyed the Hispanic community already, and there's a very small number of people that they're going to be offering to relocate back into housing. And Becky Johnson did an excellent analysis of this. We're going to continue it on Thursday, and it'll be no doubt, perhaps some of us will be down at City Council at 5 or so, between 4 and 5 on Tuesday, talking about that, absent more Brown Act violations by Crone to shut us up. So, please, you've been a great audience out there, I hope. Those of you I've heard from and those of you I haven't, well, you're going to get yours. Let's hear a little from those days when old Skidmark Bob was just a wild and crazy radical and used to be accused of terrorist lyrics in the old days. And here's one of those songs from him and one of his colleagues called Mayor's Lawn. Boy, his voice was better in the old days. I don't know. Let's try another disc here. Let's try this one. Let's see. Maybe this will work. This was made for me by a certain Skittles Bob. Is there? Well, I'm not sure. Whatever his name is.
Oh, you like it?
Yeah. So let's see here. Trying again here.